Isaiah 43 this morning. How many have your Bible with you? Would you lift your hand? Do you have your Bible? Everybody should have a Bible, amen? If you don't have a Bible, get to where you can look on with somebody else. Isaiah 43. I think it was yesterday morning, maybe. Yeah, I'm sure it was now. Oftentimes I like to get up early, and when there's nobody else stirring around, and first thing after I get kind of woke up is have some coffee. That's my drug of choice, caffeine. So I'll have a cup of coffee as I sit down to try to read and study. And everybody should have a systematic way of studying the Bible. We have a calendar that if you want to read the Bible through in a year, you pick a calendar up each month, and on the back of it, you can go through there, and by a year's time, you can complete the reading through the Bible. We have devotional materials that we hand out and have available where you can read a portion of Scripture, and there's a devotion that you can read along with that. Many of you have either computer or a smartphone, and there are many different Bible reading plans on it. I use one of them myself. There's many other resources. But yesterday morning, I needed to hear from the Lord. And so I got up and fixed my coffee. And I don't recommend this method, by the way. And what I did was this. I took this Bible of mine and just let it fall open as I got my coffee and I sat down. And this was Isaiah 43. And the Lord is like, this is for you today. This is you. And I begin to read these verses that are very, very familiar. And the Bible says in Isaiah 43, and for the sake of time, we'll read only two or three of them. But I would encourage you to read the entire chapter. It's not a long chapter. I could go into the background and everything like that, but I'm not going to do that this morning, because here's what I want you to see. In verse number one, the prophet is writing, and to tell you just a bit, he's actually writing to a generation of people that hadn't been born yet. He's writing to the descendants that are, when they're born, they're going to be in Babylonian captivity. At this point in time, he's writing to those that the parents of the children that's going to be born, like 100 years from here, they're going to need these verses. They're going to need this word here. Because at the time in which Isaiah is writing to this group of people that hadn't even been born, he tells them that you're going to experience some things. One, as you are into this captivity, you're going to wonder, where is the God of Israel? You're going to wonder, my friend, in your life as we start this brand new year, some of you are going to wonder, where is the God of Israel? You say, preacher, sun's shining and bills are paid and everything's on cloud nine. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But let me remind you, and I'm not a prophet of doom, I'm going to tell you that there will be some valleys. And there will be some obstacles, and there will be some bumps in the road. How you deal with those will determine your spiritual maturity. Also, it will determine what God has in your life. I believe this, that God prepares us in the trials that we go through to help somebody else. Y'all believe that? Say amen. My wife and I, we were just the other day reminiscing, and I could write a book. And she said, you ought to. Nobody would buy it. But the valleys and the mountains and of over the last 40-some years, it's if you only knew some of those things, and I'll be honest with you, it is, Brother Steve, by the grace of God that I'm here and that I'm still preaching. I'm honest with you. I say that not to do this, but I'm saying it is the grace of God. Isaiah 43, read two or three verses, and I want to share my heart. Bible says here, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. And notice, and he that formed thee. And the first thing that comes to my mind is this, is that God created each and every one of us. I do not believe that we evolved from lower species of animals. I believe that God created us in His image, in His likeness, for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. You're not here just to have a living. You're not here just to make money. You're not here just to be able to drive a nice automobile. You're not here for that. You're here for a purpose. And God said, I know thee, and I've created you. I formed you. For those of you that do are able to come on Wednesday night, about a year or so ago, maybe even longer, 2012, I taught on some of these things, and there are 10 factors, 10 unchangeable things in your life and in my life you cannot change. You cannot change the family you were born into. You might wish you could, but you can't. You cannot change the time in history that you were born. You can't change your national ethic origin. You cannot change your mental aptitude. You cannot change your stature, how tall or how short you are. You cannot change some of those features. Now, you can go to a plastic surgeon, but I'm talking about the way that God shaped you and the way that God formed you. He's not haphazard. He has a reason. And so he knows everything there is to know. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your faults. He knows your failures. But now notice something. And he says there in verse number 1, fear not. I heard just the other day that there are 365 times in the Bible that it says, fear not. Fear not. And beloved, I believe that there is one for every day of the year. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Whatever you are afraid of, don't be afraid. Fear not, for here he says, for I have, what's this next word, everybody? For I have done what? No, here it is, redeemed. I have what? Redeemed. Say it with me. I have redeemed. I have redeemed thee. I have bought thee. I have purchased thee. You're mine. You belong to me. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest, now watch this. He's talking about movement here. He said, when you passes through the waters, I'll be with thee. And the rivers, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. They're not going to overtake you. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shall not be burned. He didn't say you're not going to go in the fire. He just said you're not going to be burned of the fire. You remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown in the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. And when Nebuchadnezzar went by, and he looked inside and he questioned his soldiers and said, did we not throw three men in that furnace? And they said, yes, O king. He said, then I see a fourth man, and his image is likened unto the Son of God. It is not God's will to deliver you from the fire, but it is God's will to go with you in the fire. You hear me, church? You're going to go through some fiery trials in your life. You're going to experience some things that you thought that you would never have to experience. You're going to go through some things that you thought you would never have to endure, the fiery trials. By the way, they are not sent to destroy us. the fiery trials. The only thing that gold or silver happens when it's in the fire is it purifies it, and when it comes out the other side, all the dross is burned away, all the trash is removed, all the impurities are gone, and what you have is pure silver or pure gold. And the Bible says that your faith is that way. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. But now notice the verse here. And he says, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I am thankful for my past. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on Jesus, what I'm about to say. So please take that to heart. My dad was saved when I was 5 years old. And so for the most part of my life, I grew up in church. I still have very fond memories of Vacation Bible School as a kid. I still remember getting chocolate milk at Vacation Bible School as a kid. I remember growing up in little Pleasant Grove Baptist Church over in Reidsville, and then and my dad got a transfer from Reidsville to Raleigh, and so we moved to Raleigh. And there, I remember attending New Baptist Church, and my dad became a deacon, and we sat on the back row, and it was there that God began to speak to my heart, and it was there that God convicted me as 11 years old, and it was there that one night at my home in at 4905 Lakemont Drive that I gave my heart to Jesus as a result of my dad witnessing to me. And so I remember growing up in church, And church was just, it just revolved. Everything I did as a young person, I didn't play sports. I didn't play ball. I didn't go out for anything. I just wanted to be in church. And so as a teenager, we moved back outside of Greensboro, and I started attending Brightwood Baptist Church, and it was a large church. If you ever go down 29, they're working on the road now, and they're just about taking that front of that church, but that was a church I grew up in. We had a tremendous youth department. We had a tremendous, Sundays was just awesome. And I remember as a young, even as 15 years of age, I remember my sister and myself, we started a van route. She drove the van, and I'd go with her, and we'd go out, and we lived in Reidsville, and we'd go get the van in Greensboro and then drive back to Reidsville and pick up little boys and girls and then bring them back to church in Greensboro, and then after church was over, we'd take them home in Reidsville. So Sundays was pretty well spent, and then when I got my driver's license at age 16, I started driving a church bus. Never drove a school bus, but I started out driving a church bus. And then God began to put people in my life. One of the things that happened at our church in 1971, we had a new youth pastor come, and he was into music, and he was wanting to start a youth choir. And so he started a youth choir, and we had a large number of young people, and so we started a youth choir, and we would practice, Brother Steve, and we would sing, and we'd go to churches on Friday nights and through Greensboro in different areas, and then finally the church said, look, we're gonna buy a bus, and they bought a Silver Eagle bus, and we were able to travel some and went to Atlanta, Georgia, and we cut a record, and yeah, you should hear that today. But my life revolved around this, and here I'm going somewhere, so just hang with me. But here's what my life revolved around. I was a high school sophomore, junior, senior. On Tuesday nights we had teenage visitation. On Wednesday nights we had church. On Thursday nights we had teen choir practice. On Friday nights we would sing somewhere. Saturday mornings I was visiting the bus route. Sundays was taken up with church. Can you believe that my mom and dad even complained about me being gone all the time at church? But I was. In that youth group, that youth choir, one of the songs, it just came out. Andre Crouch wrote it in the early 70s. And our youth pastor, choir leader, taught it to us. And here's how it goes. it says that I've had many toils and dangers. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times that I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. The pastor's daughter of the church would sing that, and the choir would back her up. And then the second stanza goes like this: I've been to lots of places. I've seen a lots of faces. There have been times I've felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to depend upon God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And then between the second and the third stanza, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed young man would step to the microphone. And he would recite, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And then I would take a back step, and the choir would sing. And then the young lady would come back with the third stanza, and this is what she would sing: "I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms that He's brought me through, for if I had never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do." But you see, that was 44 years ago. And as a 16-year-old, I had not gone through valleys. About the only trial that I had in my life at that time was wondering if Mama was going to give me enough gas money to get back and forth to school and the church. That was about the extent of my trials. I had good parents, and some of you probably say I was spoiled. I probably was. I was the only boy, and I was a baby. My older sister was already gone from home. My other sister, she was several years older, and so Brother Steve, about anything that I needed, I got. So I really didn't have problems. I didn't really. Brother Steve, on Friday nights when we would stand to sing that song, and I would recite those verses, that's all they were words. Yes, there was the Word of God, but it didn't really speak to my heart because I had not been in the valley. I had not been on the tops of the mountain. I had not been through the trials. I had not been through the pain and the suffering and the heartache and all that goes along. But fast forward 44 years, and friend, can I tell you something? That I have been through the valley. I have been on the mountain. I have been through the trials. I have been through the struggles. I have been through the disappointments, the hurt, the heartaches, but God is faithful. As a 16-year-old, I didn't know what I was singing about, but today I know Him who I sing about. And if I had never had a problem, I'd never know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend not on my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God for them. Through it all, I've learned not to depend upon people. I've learned through it all to depend upon His Word. And that, my friend, is the only thing that's going to sustain you. That is the only thing that's going to keep you going. That is the only thing. When the demons of hell come, and when you've been marked with an X, and when all hell breaks loose in your life, the only thing that's going to sustain you is the Word of God. Fear not, I'm with thee. And Isaiah is trying to tell this generation that is still coming up on the scene, and what he does here, he reminds Israel of their past. And notice how he does this, and I'm done just a second. But he said, remember, when you pass through the waters, you know what he was talking about? He was talking about that day that the Israelites, as Moses led them out of Egypt, and they got to the very edge of the Red Sea. Yes, the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea, as the modernists and the liberals would have you to believe that they tiptoed across our ankle water. No, sir, my friend, it was the Red Sea, an impossible, impossible structure to get across. And the people said, what are we going to do? We've got Pharaoh's army behind us. We got this water in front of us. Moses, it would have best, we should have died back under being slaves. And God said this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And all of a sudden, God moved and the waters parted, and every last one of those 6 million Jews crossed over on dry land. But then every one of Pharaoh's that followed perished. And Isaiah says, remember, when you get to the edge of that water, when you get to the edge of that problem, when you get to the edge of that obstacle, remember what God did in the past. He's the same God today. He'll be the same God tomorrow. He was the same God last year. He'll be the same God in 2015. And thank God he'll be the same God when this world is on fire. He is the same. And Isaiah said, when you get to that water, remember that. But then he said also, remember this. You remember Israel. They went through that Red Sea on dry land, and they went through the wilderness, and then it was time to come into the promised land. And so God said, I'm going to take you, not where it's the easy route, but at the flood level of Jordan, where you cannot cross it. And he said, I'm not going to let you cross it down here where people are going to think you leaked over. I'm going to take you up there to the mouth of the river, to where it is impossible to get across. I'm going to take you to the point to where only God can do it. And Isaiah said, remember that when not only you pass through the waters, but through the rivers. And the Jordan River, when it parted and Israel crossed through, he said, remember that. And then the fire. Remember those three Hebrew boys, that they were cast in the flame. Remember what they said. O king, you've made a decree that when we hear the sound of the music, we're to fall down, we're to worship you. Now listen, some people will mistranslate this. And these three Hebrew boys said, but if it be so, king, that you cast us in the fire, and he said, our God will deliver us. And some people say, well, you know, that there was a question whether or not they're going to be toast marshmallows. They said, we're not going to bow down even if you throw us in there and the fiery furnace. If we perish in the fiery furnace. No, that's not what they were saying. Here's what they were saying. King, you made a decree. And that decree is this. When you sound that music, we're just supposed to fall down. But now, if you change your mind, we're still not going to serve you. If you change your mind and don't throw us in that fiery furnace, we're not going to serve you, king. We're not going to bow down to you. We serve one that's greater than you are. So, king, it doesn't really matter to us if you throw us in or if you leave us on the outside. Our God will deliver us. And he did. And Isaiah says, when you come to that point in your life, and Christian, when you come to the point in your life that you're about ready to do this number, and you're about ready to say, oh God, it's too much. You say, well, preacher, I'll never do that. Peter thought the same thing, didn't he? Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you all the way to the cross. And Peter, in a moment's time, backslid on the Lord. The trials will come, but when they come, you have a hope. You have an anchor. The thing that I see in this world today, my friend, is that people today are living hopelessly. I hear Christians all the time, and I think about that V8 commercial, you know. Y'all seen that, you know, where they're talking to somebody and they're like, "Oh, did you have your vegetables today?" "No, I didn't." And then they go, "You know, I could have had a V8. I feel like that, Brother Steve, sometimes. I spent 2-3 months preaching on the power of the tongue. And then all of a sudden, I hear people say, "Well, I guess that's just the way it's going to be." No! Wait a minute. Back up. Unhitch the buggy, honey. There is power in the tongue. I told somebody, and I just told somebody today, look, the devil doesn't know everything about us. He is not omniscient. He doesn't. The only thing, Brother Rodney, he knows about us is what we tell about him. I tell about us. And what we say about ourselves, there is power in the tongue. There is power of deliverance. There is power of freedom. There's also power of defeat. "Well, I just don't feel like it. I just don't think the sun's never going to shine again." Honey, get on board the train. The power of the tongue. Turn the wheel. If you're saying stuff that's contrary to the Word of God, if you're putting yourself down, if you're putting somebody, turn the wheel and go in a different direction. Don't stop the gas and just keep it going the same way. Stop and say, "There is going to be hope. There is going to be difference. There is a greater day coming. The church house will be full. There will be people set free. There will be people saved." Amen. If not, we should close that book and we should have stayed at home and pulled the covers up this morning. And to be honest with you, but there was something down here. There's something down. And God said, "No. No. It's not over till I say it's over. It's not over." And there's somebody, and God put this on my heart, and God let that Bible fall open, and God brought back to my remembrance that song 44 years ago. And God said, "Somebody today needs to hear that. They need to have hope. They need to have hope. It's not always going to be this way. You're not always going to be sick. You're not always going to struggle financially. You're not always going to be defeated. You're not always going to be downtrodden and discouraged and despondent. There's a brighter day coming. God's on the throne. Hallelujah. I'm not defeated." He said, "Oh, that's just the power of positive thinking. Call it what you want to, but I choose to believe this word." And when he says, "Fear not, he has redeemed me. I belong to him. The chains are broken. I'm no longer a slave. I've been set free." So why not rejoice? Why not say thank God? And this first Sunday of 2015, all of the past failures, all the past defeats, they are in the past. Don't wallow in the past. Don't let your past determine your future. But Paul said, "You forget the things which are by." Now listen to me. I know for some of you say, "Preacher, it's hard." I know it's hard. But under the blood of Jesus, they are wiped away. In fact, look here in Isaiah 43. And look what he said in verse 25. If you don't get nothing, take this home with you today. In verse 25, I am he that what? Blotteth out thy transgressions. You can't do it, but he can. And that song we sang this morning, the first song, "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes us." Whatever is holding you back, whatever is causing you defeat, it is canceled out. And he said, "I blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not," read this with me, church, out loud, "I will not remember thy sins." 2014 is gone. 2015 is here. God said, you got a clean slate. The whiteboard is clean. Back when I grew up, we had chalkboards. On Fridays, after a week that the teacher would write with chalk, you know what she would do? She'd send one person down and get a rag and some water. And they'd wash the chalkboard. Because even after you took an eraser and went over it, you could still faintly see it. But on Fridays, she would take and she would wash the chalkboard to where on Monday morning, it was clean. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God has done that for you, sir, and you, ma'am. Young person, young man, regardless, don't continue to live in the past. Beat yourself up. Don't continue.